no speed on this.
We went to this
desert spa, outdoor on a one day off.
She's
in the desert.
She's recording this.
It's okay.
I can stop it.
This is stop
it. Yeah, just pause it. And just because I feel like that's a really story. But, so welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Rebecca. Exciting.
Are you from New York?
I am. Cool. I live on Wall Street.
Nice. You live on Wall Street.
I do.
Your parents work on Wall Street?
No. My husband works in finance, but there is only one bank on Wall Street left. Fun fact. Share with your friends.
Is that right?
It is. They're all in Midtown now.
Well, down, that's where I'm staying, by our hotel. We're down in the, Guild Hall. So I don't know which road it is. Like Gold Street. Right?
Yeah, that's right near there.
When did Wall Street become Wall Street?
It was where they built a wall when the settlers first came in. The reason why Wall Street.
This is everyone.
That's fantastic.
So when the settlers first came to New York, they only occupied a very small part. They didn't know what was further uptown and whether it had Native Americans or not. So they built a wall on what is now Wall Street. And they still have their certain little holes you can look
Wall
into.
So Wall Street goes east to west.
Yeah. And that's where they built the wall when they first showed up. And it's on a little tip of Manhattan that kind of is like a pier.
Right.
So it's very easy for boats to come in and out, and it made perfect sense at the time. Then they took it over. And
so perfect start to your thing that you can put that whole piece in.
Yeah, right? And
I
learned something real there.
Just that
story. And we're done. Thanks so much.
That's
all I'm saying.
Just give random history lessons to everybody all day. I think they'll be really excited about it.
Try to help out and you end up getting a... We all ridicule you.
I don't
give a shit. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you asked the question.
I quite like it better than anything
so
you said in
it's
the...
True. No, it's true enough. It's true enough.
All right, I guess we should get to it. Question for you, your writing process, because I was writing notes as I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, this is storyboard mayhem. Like, keeping these two stories straight. And same with you guys reading it, where you just like, what is... What? Like, how do you process that
you know,
and then hand in writing at the same time?
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I have this kind of very short attention span, so it's actually really good for me that you have a scene, and then you go, okay, then I'm going to do this other thing.
Yeah.
I was very keen to, as soon as you start to get, if the film frustrates you, and when it gets to a point where it's actually frustrating, and I hope this is going to work out, I sort of implicitly felt that it's certain, that area when the twist comes. So it's really not that, it feels harder than it actually is. It's because he never leaves the home in the home story, you're very grounded in this guy's in the house. So what he has to do is the business to do and, you know, to build the scenes to the twist. And so there comes a fluid, it took a while to get it right, but it wasn't as hard to do as it seems because you only play each scene as you're playing each scene. And it's the same for the guys that you...
Yeah.
They had to chart their whole stories for themselves.
Let me ask you this. At one point, does it start to become just... I know this might ruin it for... A spoiler.
Spoiler.
Do you just start to understand the story as a whole, and then you start, and then you divide?
No, I wrote it as it was. It wasn't ever put into shape. It was always written that... I have a scene where I've got very little time to show that you don't like your stepdad. So I have to come up with a scene that shows that, and what you end up with because of the promise of there being trouble, you know, he says, I want you to kill this guy, the small things you're seeing in like the scene where he picks the knife up in the kitchen are anchors and hooks to what you think the film's going to be. So
right.
You go, okay, the version that stays at home is now going to kill him, and then he does something else. So it just keeps the balls in the air. The way I would, because films are all shot out of order anyway, this is why I think it's not so difficult. I and my actors will have a route through the story, and his story is he comes home from a night out, has an argument with his dad, ends up having a fight, ends up killing his dad, blah 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 blah. He then, when he's put all that stuff away, the doorbell rings and the guys turn up. But by putting those stories simultaneously together, narratively it says that he will always be reliving that moment. So whatever, that moment's going to be with him always. And I think when you hear about people doing their testimonies of how they killed somebody, they're going through the steps of it, of what it, but the real start of the whole thing is in here, is his own paranoia
right.
about him. And
but the split works really, really well. And we always knew it would, I think, but I just watched it with two friends, and they're constantly asking me questions.
Wow.
Like, oh wait, he's gonna get killed. Oh wait, no. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then like when it finally clicks, like, I think
that's how we were watching at the same time.
Yeah.
Trying not to be real loud in the theater.
The stories, I think, you know, like Chris said, there's a lot to set up, and you don't have much time for it, and you're kind of wondering, all right, where's, you know, what's happening? Why is he showing me this? And then as soon as it's the story starts to pick up and you understand what's going on and what's happening, this back and forth action, it really becomes intriguing, I think, for to watch.
Yeah, I always can't wait for the split to start. You know, I mean, when I'm watching it, I'm keen to get to that bit. But much as I enjoy these two in the club together, you want the audience goes, okay, all right, this is happening now. That's what I like. I'm glad that there's fun, because these sort of scripts, the problem is they can become annoying and they can become, oh yeah, you're clever. It doesn't have that it's clever feel. It just feels, because when they're having lots of fun chat on the road and he's shouting, calling her a bitch and blah, 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 and there's some humor coming, then that's a more quieter moment of him at home. So just like in any film, you have a moment of lull, and then you have we're having that once at the home store, he's sat on the sofa watching a movie while they've just, and then that becomes tense, and then, so it's permanently doing that.
Yeah. You guys have a really interesting opportunity with this script, because you sort of, all three of you, even Bell, you guys get to play these like kind of iconic archetypes, but at the same time, you also get to play the flip side. So you get, as you go through the movie, again, spoiler alert-ish, but like good guy, bad guy, but at the same time, good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. Like, did you expect that as you were reading through the script the first time?
I don't know. No, you don't. You can't expect anything in the film. It all just kind of happens, and the whole thing's just a surprise, and you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And then. And then you just call Chris and you go, hey, I would like to do your film.
Yeah.
I think that's why the movie's so good. The characters are so good, is because it starts, each one starts off with a value, and by the end of the film, it's a totally different value. So once you have these contradicting images or ideas of who these characters are, I think it works out quite nicely within the balance of the film.
So you guys used wide angle lenses, so what was that like for you guys?
I didn't know we used wide angle.
You didn't know, you're just like,
Chris,
whatever.
This goes action and
you just
do my thing.
I was going to ask you, do we use
anamorphics?
No.
No,
what's anamorphic?
They're just the all super wide angle lenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? What is all this?
In the Larson, you know, your face looks kind of morphed. In my
yeah,
face,
yeah. Right? There's a scene in you're kind of like, it's really morphed your face. Yeah.
It's
that's like yeah. It's almost. It's like a fisheye. It's like an 8mm. Yeah. It's really.
Is it all natural light?
Well, just in the
no, we're in a fucking dark.
It's true. I kind of feel like him sometimes. It's like, the DOPs are going on and on about it. There's two types of film. There's either Caravaggio, natural light, candle burning, or there's Hopper. That's all movies. That's all they are. One film's either a Hopper painting or it's a Caravaggio. This is kind of Hoppery. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that vibe. But what you have to remember is when the camera's there, held really close to your face, it's probably a wide angle lens.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. And when it's miles away, it's on a long. He doesn't think he's right. Not.
No, it's
I
great.
Do. But it's so funny. I feel like I want to know every aspect
good.
Of the
That's
technical
good.
Side, just to better understand what, because sometimes like you do something and the tip of your finger comes into frame and you're like, oh, that looks weird. Don't do that. And you're
right.
Like, well, where do I draw the line?
Right.
So
where's
nice,
the shot
just,
end? Yeah.
Just nice to kind of see it and understand it in your head as you're acting through the scene.
My take now is, why aren't all films shot like that? That's what I'm always going to do that now. Because it's really nice. It's limiting. It's limiting in the sense that when you say, okay, we're going to do whatever we want, you can have this lens. I think there's a nice order and a symmetry to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go over the shoulder. You look almost a camera.
Right.
There are all these new rules that are really interesting.
Well, you got, and that was a huge. I mean, that was something that I was really paying attention to through the process of the film. Is, you know, there are all these incredible shots that that are mounted onto the car, shooting mm-hmm. through the window, and you're on this wide lens, and you just see, you just feel like you see everything. You feel like you're in the car with it, but from an outsider's perspective, almost, and it's just so nice. And I think, you know, like Chris says, that builds this symmetrical kind of structure to the film, technically. That's I think comes out really nice.
Yeah, the framing is stunning. I mean, we all walked out thinking, okay, that was cinematically amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like visually incredibly
appealing.
Yeah,
really talented.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So, for me as an actor, wardrobe is like really like, that's like all of a sudden you're in character. Was that the same for you guys, where you just like, as soon as you put that yellow jacket on, like as soon as the tattoos are on, you're just like, that's, I'm in it.
Yeah.
That's like a next level.
Sometimes, especially with this one though, because that yellow jacket plays in the film big time, because you don't realize that they're basically two separate changes, and those changes can decipher which part of the film you're in.
Right.
But as an audience member, I always have the jacket zipped up, so you don't know. And we thought, we always knew this, and we thought, well, we need to find the jacket.
Right.
It's the jacket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were going through all these jackets, and nothing quite felt right, and then we finally, I put this yellow jacket on, and then as soon as I put it on, I thought, this is the jacket. This is it. And we both knew.
Because you know, he's got the zipped up to hide the fact and the twist, of course.
Right.
That he's got, you know, that because you think he's got nothing, because like, you see him with the jacket on, but nothing, and then you realize he's got his t-shirt on. But why has he got a t-shirt on? And so all these little clues that feel like continuity errors until at the end you go, oh, okay.
Also, because this film takes place over a span of like a night and a day, so you're wearing basically the same clothes for the whole 6-week shoot. Like you get used to putting on the boots the certain way and putting the chain wallet in and that kind of thing, because you basically, I think I had one change in the whole film.
Yeah.
Well, you put on a jacket, right? And that's it.
Oh, the jackets.
Oh, the jacket we had. That was a nightmare.
That was the... No, I have one green cut-off thing.
What is that?
You never see the difference. You never see the difference.
I don't know. See the difference? Well, I knew the difference.
Well, yeah, it's your wardrobe.
I like it when Belle... So Belle's mostly got the same outfit on, and then suddenly she has this change. And, and she walks on set and we're like, oh, you're nice! You got a new dress on.
That bright lace is great. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's nice. That's a nice moment for her visually.
She's
too.
Amazing. She's awesome. It's a shame Belle's making this movie because she's so amazing.
She's great.
It's really hard. She brought so much to that. It could have just been kind of not there or flat if anyone else would have done it. But she just brought this effortlessness to it.
Every scene where like everybody's like, what's going to be her choice? Because she just, it's really hard for a male to write a female.
No, that's what I was saying. Ed, what do I keep her? I want to keep her. And this is where the idea of make it room two came from. Called even less room. You just keep Belle.
Brie Larson said
no. Brie said no. Paramount are all over it. They love her. So.
Yeah, she's amazing. I mean, after Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Yeah. She's so not like you. My God.
And
she's
that's
a freak.
What's like,
And you look so different. And her life, she looks so different as well. If I was, I am like, we were a boy, so this is why I would just look like Cherry. I said to her, I would keep the hair and just go around in sort of slutty clothes.
Why not? Can do it.
Yeah, just if you can pull it
just
off.
Just go for it. Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
She's like, no. I've been a girl all my life, Chris. You just want to be a girl for a day.
So you guys have had, all of you have had amazing success at film festivals. So what does being here now with this, what's that like for you? What's your biggest takeaway from film festivals?
I was just telling somebody this morning that it's nice to be back at a festival with a film like this, something that you it feels like you and your buddies just went out and you made, and it's like, it's a little film at heart, but I think on the screen it may come off as something much bigger. Mm-hmm. But it's just nice to be at a festival again like this. I've never been to Tribeca, but I was doing the festival circuit with my first few films, the first few films that I was I had kind of a semi-big role in
Sundance.
Sundance, and then I did Venice, done TIFF a few times, and yeah, I've done all these festivals a few times, and it's just so nice to kind of be back, and I'm excited for tonight. There's something about seeing it at a festival with an audience, and I think especially with this film, it's very much an audience's film, and you can't, you can't quite, I think with every film I've ever done, it's only until I see it with an audience where I really realize, okay, this is what the film is.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand, you can't feel it. Once you feel the tension between what's happening on screen and when someone's sitting in the chair.
Right. It's like live theater. Like you get that response.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get that response, and it's live, and you can look around and see like who's checking their phone, or like who's like,
right.
in an emotional scene is like really connected, and
right.
so yeah, it's kind of nice to get that sense that's immediately present.
Can I take a quick picture before you guys go?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just keep me out. Just so
back
Chris is kind
of weird about
sort of back line a little bit. It's not fair. I'm making a film like with a load of old people now. I'm going to do Cocoon again. Make a Cocoon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. It's really, really nice to meet you. I really appreciate it. Have a good rest of the day. You're absolutely welcome. And enjoy tonight, take it all in.
Thanks so much.
Don't let it pass you by.
I can't wait. No, it won't.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, or are you going to be here?